DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Now, I told y'all to be careful over the 4th of July. You may remember me saying that. Those weren't just empty words. That was my request and plea to all of you not to burn your house down with fireworks or really anything else. And unfortunately, an injury could not be helped, or a little accident could not be helped, when it comes to Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm, who is involved in a boating incident over the course of the 4th of July week. It's great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. As you might imagine, we are going to talk a lot about what we do know, what we maybe don't yet know when it comes to Jake Fromm's injury. Let me start with what Dog Nation has been able to report thus far with Chip Towers here, who had a piece up yesterday at DogNation.com that Fromm suffered a small fracture of his left non-throwing hand when he was sitting in the back of a boat while someone else wakeboarded on Lake Burton Tuesday. According to persons with direct knowledge of the incident, when the skier fell and let go of the rope, the handle flew back in the boat and hit Fromm on the left hand. Now, I don't know how in the world you're supposed to prevent that. That just seems like horrible bad luck, horrible just rotten lousy luck, and the kind of freak thing, fluke thing. Then there's not really any kind of, you know, mechanism in place that I think you can put that would prevent something like that from happening. But good reporting there from Chip Towers, from apparently a close, very source to the scene. Then you've got Dog Nation's Jeff Sintel, who also had his own reporting on this that sheds a little bit more light here as well. Here's what Jeff has been able to report: that Fromm's injury was described to Dog Nation as a fracture in his non-throwing hand, but it's being treated like it's a bone bruise. It'll not require a hard cast, in other words. Fromm is expected to proceed business as usual for the Bulldogs and will still be doing his voluntary 7-on-7 work with his teammates. And Jeff means this week when he says that. That's Dog Nation's Jeff Sintel. So while apparently, according to Jeff, Fromm not going to be wearing a hard cast, if you're watching us on video, you do see our buddy Blind Eddie, the unofficial mascot of Dog Nation Daily, as a way of being in solidarity with Jake Fromm, is wearing a cast also on his non-throwing hand here as well. So Eddie's not going to take his cast off until Jake Fromm's hand is fully healed here. It's just a way of sort of remaining solid and in solidarity with the Georgia quarterback. There's also some reporting from ESPN on this. Kirby Smart apparently speaking to ESPN's Chris Lowe, that I think the words from Smart here go a long way towards maybe calming some fears. When you see the headline, Jake Fromm injury, when the injury is described as a broken hand, there's an immediate sort of pause that you get there. That's sort of stops you in the tracks of whatever you're doing for your 4th of July celebration. When you see that, it kind of scares you. But the words from Kirby Smart here may take some of that fear away. Chris Lowe writes that Jake Fromm won't miss any summer workouts. Georgia coach Kirby Smart told ESPN on Wednesday. Lowe goes on to write that Smart termed the injury as, quote, insignificant, and said that Fromm already had resumed throwing, which sort of matches the reporting that Jeff Sintel provided right there. So that's sort of the latest on this. Chip Towers describes the nature of the boating incident. Jeff Sintel sort of describes the nature of the injury. Kirby Smart seems to sort of back that up with what he tells ESPN there. So maybe this is just a sort of a, you know, an odd situation where calamity is dodged here. And that's obviously the hope for Georgia fans. But there's something else you got to hope for here too. And I guess honesty compels me to admit this. You sort of have to hope the story sort of stays what it is right now, because sometimes these injury stories have a way of evolving over time. Let me give you an example of when that did happen. Let's go back to Alabama spring practice for a moment. First day of practice, Alabama quarterback, the presumed starter, Tua Tagovailoa, injured at the time what we thought was an injured thumb. In fact, here was Nick Saban telling reporters something they were shocked to find out, which is Tua was injured right there on day one. Here's Saban on that.
Tua, you know, hurt his thumb today in practice, taking him to Birmingham to get that evaluated, but, you know, probably going to require some time for him to get back. And I don't want to speculate on what the injury might be. Well, most of the time when these type things happen, it takes a little while for him to come back.
And so over the course of that little while that Nick Saban describes there, the injury would start to be sort of described in sort of slightly different tones. You know, AL.com in the immediate aftermath of the injury described what happened to Tua as a sprained thumb. But when Tua Tagovailoa, the Alabama quarterback's dad, spoke to a Hawaii TV station a couple of weeks later, he described it not as a sprained thumb, but as a broken index finger. And it ended up being the kind of thing that kept Tua out for the most part all of spring. At one point in time late in Alabama spring practice, Nick Saban said he had a little bit of a setback there. We didn't end up seeing a lot of Tua. Now, it's worth pointing out that Tua did recently throw at the Manning Academy quarterback camp there. So, I mean, there, you know, he is on his way back to full health, it would seem, and probably going to be playing and practicing for the Crimson Tide when it comes back to August. But this was an injury that sort of changed after it was initially discussed. The initial reports on that ended up being a little bit different here. Now, what makes the Tua situation far different from Jake Fromm, and this cannot be stated enough, is that Tua Tagovailoa's finger injury, apparently a broken finger, happened on his throwing hand, which is an altogether different scenario than what Jake Fromm is dealing with. His fracture to the non-throwing hand here, apparently so insignificant, to use Kirby Smart's word, that he's able to kind of go back out there and even be a part of voluntary 7-on-7, throwing the football even this week in the immediate aftermath of the injury. And as I said, for Georgia fans, they hope that story doesn't change. They hope that more information doesn't lead to, oh yeah, there was a minor setback here, and oh yeah, maybe the initial diagnosis of the injury was not quite what we found out to be. That's the thing that Georgia fans sort of hope for here. And I guess there's a weird irony in that the three quarterbacks, presumed starters for the three presumed best teams in the SEC, are sort of all dealing with their own versions of injuries right now. We've obviously talked a lot about Jake Fromm and the situation that he's going through based on this week. I just talked about Tua Tagovailoa and the injury to his throwing hand suffered during spring practice. We've also got Auburn quarterback Jared Stidham, who's, once again, this injury not all that similar to a Jake Fromm, given the fact that Stidham dealt with a shoulder and Fromm is dealing with a hand, but it is at least similar in the fact that what Stidham is dealing with is on his non-throwing side. It's the kind of thing that kept him out of Auburn spring practice, but as Gus Malzahn recently explained, maybe it didn't have to keep him out of spring practice, and maybe there's a chance that he could have practiced a bit, and definitely Malzahn sees no reason to think that he won't be available to the team once summer practices begin. For a little context on Fromm, here is Gus Malzahn talking about Jared Stidham.
When we come back, he'll be turned loose to do everything, and I know he's really looking forward to that. And you know, he could have done a little bit more the last week of spring. We just didn't want to take any chances. We wanted to be cautious with that, but he'll be back ready to go.
So that's a cautious choice that Gus Malzahn had to make on the non-throwing side of Jared Stidham, whose injury was actually suffered at the end of the regular season. He did have a little bit of surgery here. Malzahn said they chose to be cautious during Auburn spring practice with that, even though maybe they didn't have to be. For Kirby Smart, it's not even a choice he has to worry about right now, because fortunately for Georgia, the injury that Fromm has, while you never want something like this to happen, it does occur with a month to go before actual real practices begin. So there's really not a whole lot of need for Kirby to even be cautious right now, because he's still got, you know, several weeks to get ready before practice actually does begin. So all three of the quarterbacks for the three best teams in the SEC, all dealing with their own version of injury. There's a way to sort of look at this that says what Fromm's going through here may be less significant than either of the other two. Stidham, who had surgery, Tagovailoa, who was dealing with something on his throwing hand that made gripping and throwing a football something pretty difficult for him to do. Which sort of leads you, I guess, to the next phase of this entire discussion, which is there anything that can be done to keep stuff like this from happening? And a lot of you that kind of, you know, wrote to me about this on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, that's my Twitter account, a lot of you had sort of, you know, sort of joking responses to this about wrapping these guys in bubble wrap, or, you know, some of you took more serious, you know, tacks of, hey, you got to prohibit all of this sort of motorized vehicle activity during the summer, thinking back to when Sonny Michel got hurt a couple of years ago. If you just got to stop all of this, none of this can happen. These guys just need to stay 100% football all the time in the summer, getting ready for practice to begin. And, you know, I just don't think you can do that. I think that's sort of an impossible rule to enforce, first of all. And you don't want to be the kind of head coach on the recruiting trail that's known as the guy that's trying to keep any of these guys from having fun. I mean, bad luck is going to happen. You know, bad luck is going to be the kind of thing that you just sort of bump into from time to time. And based on the description of what happens with Fromm here, you can't fault him for what, you know, goes on. You know, he's with friends on a boat on the week of the 4th of July. I think for a lot of people, you'd say that's exactly where you do want a young man to be that time of year, enjoying this, you know, time in his life and, you know, getting ready for the football season. There's no, you know, reason whatsoever to suggest that he made any kind of bad choice at all. Bad luck just seemed to have found him here in this case. And obviously Georgia fans going to hold their breath a bit when a guy like this goes down with injury because he's clearly very important to this team potentially. He certainly was in 2017. I guess for now, though, the only thing we can do is trust the reporting we have on this, which makes it seem somewhat insignificant. Trust Kirby Smart and his own words, which makes it sound like Jake Fromm's going to be fine, including here this week as he's throwing with some of his teammates. And then we'll all see where this story goes from here. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza. So glad to have you with us. After a day off yesterday, it's great to be back today. If you're watching us on video, thanks for doing that. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all the various Dog Nation video channels. Good to have you with us. Also, nice to be back with our friends on the radio on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We're there at noon each and every day. And in podcast form, wherever podcasts are found. The world-famous DogNation.com, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. All the various devices, we try to take good care of you. We're just glad you have found Dog Nation Daily here today. And a special thank you to Marco's Pizza for making it all possible. I know a lot of you enjoyed your Marco's Pizza over the weekend. I heard from some of you on this on Twitter, taking advantage of that great offer. You know, they invite you to say hello, Primo, with authentic Italian pizza made in every store, every day, the Italian way. And if you want to sample it for yourself, Marco's got a great offer for you to do just that. Two medium, two topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. That is a great deal while you're sitting out at the pool or on the back porch, the front porch, wherever you are, the ball fields this time of year, wherever you're going. That great deal from Marco's Pizza gives you a chance to do that. Two medium, two topping pizzas for $6.99 each. Go to marcos.com for more information on that. We are lucky enough today, even though it's a Thursday, not typically a Jeff's Intel day here for Dog Nation Daily, but we are going to catch up with Jeff in a few minutes. We'll get some more context from him after the good reporting that he does on the holiday, the 4th of July yesterday, about the injury to Jake Fromm, and we'll talk a lot about that with Jeff Sintel here coming up. Before we get into that, there is something else we need to talk about, and I sort of assumed, based on the events of Tuesday, this would be the thing we spent the most time on here on the program today. We'll have plenty of time to do this over the course of the next few days, but by now you're aware of the sort of dust-up that got created on Twitter because of something that Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma coach, says on an interview with Danny Cannell and Taylor Zarzar on ESPNU satellite radio. Cannell sends out a tweet on this, and it ends up being kind of, you know, for the college football community, kind of a bit of a lightning rod here. Let me first of all show you the initial tweet from Cannell, which is a quote from Lincoln Riley. Cannell writes that Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley just now on the radio program says that if you throw Georgia in the Big 12 every year, there is no way they are top five defense in the country. That's a pretty bold print, pretty provocative comment there from Lincoln Riley, the kind of thing that gets people stirred up, gets people aggravated. A lot of Georgia fans were aggravated about it. I sort of took my shot at Lincoln Riley on this. And the aftermath of all that's going to be kind of interesting. There's backlash to Riley's comment. And there's a sense of sort of backlash against the backlash where a lot of the super serious blue check college football reporters start coming in and saying, now, hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. There's more context to what Lincoln Riley said there. I don't know that the context necessarily changes the nature of this debate all that much, but as a way of being full disclosure here, let me show you the additional context. Blatant Homerism is a pretty popular Oklahoma fan blog, and on Twitter, the writer for Blatant Homerism kind of gave you a little more of this context, the full question that leads to the full answer from Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley. If you're watching, I want to show you this on the screen. If you're listening, I'll try to describe a bit of this. It's too long for me to read the entire thing, but you know, Danny Cannell asked sort of a long, wide-ranging question to Lincoln Riley, and then Riley kind of goes into a whole deal about the differences in football, where at the end of this, you know, in addition to giving a compliment to Georgia about how good the defense is, goes on to talk about how good he thought the offenses were in the Big 12. And there are some in the sort of super serious realm of, you know, kind of hall monitor college football media who would tell you that, hey, this means this is all, you know, a moot point and not worth talking about. I think the opposite's actually true. I think the entire context, the entire discussion, the question from Danny Cannell, the answer from Lincoln Riley, the response from Georgia fans, really just sort of, you know, picks at a scab that exists, you know, in the deeper discussion about college football. Because ultimately, I don't believe this is an issue of Georgia fans versus Oklahoma fans about who plays the better brand of football. I think this is almost a deep divide of, about the entire country of who is doing football best. Because you cannot deny that there is a huge difference between the way the Big 12 goes out there and plays its sport. They like to think of themselves as innovative. They sell themselves on the recruiting trail as being that way. You better believe that when Lincoln Riley makes his pitch to Jaden Hazelwood, and he's done it, he talks about how much smarter of an offensive mind he is based on the points they are scoring in comparison to what George is doing. George, on the other hand, when they talk to similar recruits like Jay Hayes, the defensive lineman that they flipped from Oklahoma, the graduate transfer from Notre Dame, you better believe that they spent a lot of time talking to him about you don't want to go there and play in that pillow fight lead of the Big 12. After all, they're not putting very many people in the NFL draft. So the deeper, larger context for what Lincoln Riley says, I think only makes the debate over this issue more intense. And over the course of the next couple of days, I think we'll probably talk a lot about that. But for now, let's get back to the news at hand. Let's talk to Jeff Sintel about the injury suffered by Jake Fromm. Good to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
It's been a busy time for Jeff Sintel. He did, I mean, just some outstanding reporting at the opening in Frisco, Texas this week. I love reading every word of it, and I think that he and I will probably be talking for weeks about everything he had to say and everything that recruits told him while he was there. But then he comes back, and right before he gets ready to go on his own vacation, the Jake Fromm injury story breaks on the 4th of July, and Jeff hopped on the old computer and did some good reporting on that, and he's good enough to give us some additional context for that here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. So, Jeff, let me first of all, thanks for being with us here today on what is sort of not a normal day for you to be on the program, but obviously you are close to the story, and we appreciate you speaking to us about it. How are you doing today?
Hey, guys. I'm great, actually. Hope everybody's well. Brandon, that was not my first time, but anytime when you're in the reporter tribe and you have to write your story off of your cell phone, which is what I had to do at a big 4th of July event with friends and family, anytime you got to write one of those suckers off your cell phone, it's a little bit harrowing.
Yes, it is, but no typos that I saw, and certainly plenty of intriguing information there. So whether it was done on the phone or the old typewriter or the big laptop computer or whatever, you certainly got the job done there. And I guess let me just ask you this. You know, when we read your reporting on this, you kind of describe this, you know, based on your sourcing here, as something that doesn't sound quite as serious as what I think at my own version of my 4th of July cookout, everyone sort of hears the initial word on this. And there's, I don't want to say panic, that may be too strong of a word, but there's clearly a curiosity of, oh my gosh, what's happening, what's going on here? And it seems like the actual facts on the ground sort of make it seem less serious than what the initial fears from a lot of Dog Nation would have been. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody's going to have their opinion. You see the funny things on the internet and Twitter about, you know, Jake needs to be in bubble wrap, or maybe he needs to be flanked by Andrew Thomas, Isaiah Wilson, Ben Cleveland, Lamont Gallier, Jamari Salyer, Trey Hill, all those guys at all times. But, you know, this is a young man. His love of the outdoors, his stewardship of the outdoors is something that a lot of Georgia fans revel in. I tell people a lot of times, you can't have things both ways. You can have a true Georgia kid that lives in the woods and fishes and hunts, loves country music. You know, he also went to see the Zac Brown Band recently with his family. And if you ask me, I'm a parent, I got young children, I'd much rather have that young person in my household doing all of those things, which may or may not be risky on the wakeboard, rather than other influences and other things that young people can associate themselves with.
I said the same thing, Jeff, and I said this to our video audience a couple of minutes ago, that, you know, I've got a son, you've got a son. So, you know, take this away from Jake Fromm, Georgia football quarterback. Let's say that Fromm was our own child, and neither one of us are old enough for that to be true, but one day I guess we probably will be. Yeah, you want your kid, you know, boating and fishing and doing those things, being active. That's the choice that you would want for your son, and you'll sort of take the risks associated with that. The same thing for Sonny Michel. Now, I don't love the ATVs, to be honest with you, but still, you know, that level of, you know, activity, you'll take that over sitting in a basement and playing video games all day long. You'll take the one trade-off over the other every day of the week, right?
Yeah, and I just think the thing that makes it so harrowing, and you know, everybody's going to wonder about when is he available, is he missing any sort of off-season lifting type thing. Well, I do know that Jake plans to be working in what's called an air cast today. There is the teamwork that they, you can call it voluntarily or involuntarily in air quotes if you want. They're going to do, the team does that all the entire summer. Jake was set to be business as usual, throwing that thing around, spinning the ball around today while working during the summer with his team. So you have the feeling here, well, Fromm was actually a passenger in the boat. It was classified as a fracture in his hand, his non-throwing hand, but it's being treated like it is a bruise, a bone bruise inside his hand. Non-throwing hand, non-throwing arm, all that stuff. Leads one to believe that it's much better than maybe some of the things that have happened to a key Georgia offensive performer on 4th of July, ATV incidents of years past. Everybody remembers what happened there with Sonny Michel a couple of years ago.
All right, I need to let you go here coming up pretty soon because I know you got a lot going on today. But let me do a couple of like sort of rapid fire type stuff just to sort of get as much information out of you as we can. You mentioned this voluntarily, and you use air quotes for that. I think we all understand what that means. Voluntary 7-on-7 stuff. Can you give us just more of a brief description of the kind of football work that Fromm is expected to be doing this week post injury here? What, for Georgia fans who want to get a picture of that in their mind, exactly what does that look like?
Yeah, probably it's going to look like a lot of the summer 7-on-7 stuff. You guys saw some video clips and saw all the streaming that came out of the Nike opening. It's going to be very similar. I bet in Jake's case, they may be able to work the 7-on-7 with him just maybe taking his drops with the ball in his hand or just maybe handing it to him from under center, and he's going to work through his drops a little bit. You can rest assured that probably whatever methods can be applied to his off-season training to kind of protect that healing hand, that those will be taken. But you got to remember, that Fromm guy is a pretty tough son of a buck, and meaning, you know, outdoorsman deer type that. So it's going to take a lot to keep him down. I think everybody remembers a couple of times during the season, the Notre Dame game, the Tennessee game even, where he took some shots, and he wasn't going to come out. And I remember his high school career and remember him playing with basically a shoulder that needed surgery at times, and he could barely go. And all those times everybody saw on QB1 where he basically limps into a physician's office after some game and gets treatment, and then he's playing the next Friday. If this was I know everybody out there in the audience, if they have kids or if they're young adults or adults like myself, used to play those John Madden football games. Well, I would give, if this is Brandon Adams College Football 2018, I would give Jake Fromm a 98-99 on the injury rating, because that is one tough dude.
Let me let you go on this final question here. I made the comparison early in the show to what unfolded with Tua Tagovailoa back in the spring, injury to his throwing hand, which is a very different thing than Jake Fromm. But what I would think would give maybe some Georgia fans concern is sometimes these injury stories have a way of changing. You know, the initial report on Tua Tagovailoa, AL.com said it was a sprained thumb. Well, then Tua's own dad said it was a broken index finger. That's a pretty significant change in terms of what the initial reporting was, and some of that was based on some of the stuff that Nick Saban had to say. Is there any reason in your mind or any door open in your mind for the diagnosis, prognosis for this Jake Fromm injury to evolve here over the course of the next couple of days, or is this sort of shut and closed with what's been reported thus far?
Yeah, I think that's pretty simple. It is it's a break in his hand. I don't know metatarsals or what, you know what, forgive me, my wife went to nursing school and
I think tarsals are toes. I think carpals are am I right about that? I think metatarsals are toes. I think metacarpals are fingers. That much I think I do know.
Look at there. You got your DND moment of the day, sponsored by a future practitioner, medical practitioner of the moment. But the thing is to me, the key telltales here are, one, it was a it's treated like it's a bruise. He's not going to be hard casted. It's going to be like in an air cast or a flexi cast. And everything has been described to me as business as usual for Mr. Fromm. He's going to go out about his business like he has a 100% healthy non-throwing hand. And you know, the other segment of the Fromm family that maybe also, you know, brings up a level of apprehension is also the house up in Athens. I was also told a tree fell on it recently during storms, and a lot of the guys were up there this week, kind of chainsaws and everything else, clearing logs and clearing the debris from that incident as well. So, you know, all things considered, you've still got a healthy quarterback. But the big picture, and maybe the 10,000 feet and below sales view of this whole situation, is it says, okay, should something happen to Jake Fromm, Georgia at least has Jake Fromm, Justin Fields waiting in the wings or in the bullpen, so to speak, take over and get some reps, because he's going to need that time anyway. But at the same time, you get a mix of the yin and yang right now of the Georgia quarterback decision, and that is tremendous wealth. They're very top heavy at the top. But if this was a long-term injury to either Fromm or Fields right now, Georgia would be looking with just one scholarship quarterback as a backup option. And I'm sure everybody who was around their grills and their patios and their back decks or on a boat yesterday, this thought crystallized in their head a little bit that if you start looking at Georgia and the Austin Peay game and how Georgia needs to protect that depth chart, you can see Fromm starting out, maybe a comfortable lead is built, Fields comes in and gets some reps. But if you ask me, if that game's well in hand in the fourth quarter and Justin has played and Jake has played, it might be a situation to where whoever wins the number three job is working a lot of that garbage time and not the precious, you know, second scholarship quarterback in a lot of those game time situations. Going to be a very healthy balance there that Jim Chaney, James Cooley, and Kirby Smart are going to have to work with there throughout the 2018 season.
I think that's an important piece of analysis right there, Jeff. Really good stuff. I know you've got some vacation coming up here. We hope you've enjoyed that. Get some fun in the sun here. Thanks for being with us here today to give us a little update on this. And, of course, the next time you're on, we'll grill you on a bunch of recruiting stuff. How does that sound?
Yes, sir. Everybody have themselves a good week and a good weekend, and stay away from those tow ropes, people.
That is Jeff Sintel, Dog Nation Daily's recruiting, or I should say Dog Nation's recruiting insider, and a great friend of us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And I think that Jeff brings up a really important piece right there. It's a good thing and a bad thing. Let me start with the good part of this. While it does not sound like that Jake Fromm's injury is going to keep him from missing any football time, even maybe even any practice time, we're still a month away from that. Let's say that he did for a moment. Let's say that it was a more serious injury that was going to take him off the field for a while. The one thing we've seen from Justin Fields, the presumed backup here, is a real commitment to knowing that he is one play away. In fact, when Fields made his commitment announcement there at Harrison High School, when he spoke to the media after that was over with, he talked about that one play away mindset. You know, you are just one play away from getting in the game. You got to be ready to be able to do that. And we haven't seen any evidence from Fields that would suggest anything to the contrary, that he's doing anything other than absolutely treating his offseason as, I need to be ready when called upon. Something could happen to Jake Fromm. I need to be ready to go in there and do that, which is exactly what you want Georgia fans, what Georgia fans would want their sort of second string quarterback to be thinking about. And not all quarterbacks are the same way. Not all quarterbacks take the same mental approach to the game. Some guys just aren't quite as ready to play. They may physically think they're ready to play, but emotionally, spiritually, mentally, they may not just be quite ready to go out there and do it. You get the sense that Fields takes that part of all of this very, very seriously, which is a great thing for George, a tremendous insurance policy at the backup. But but below that, at the number three position, it is a big old bunch of unknown. It is a real concern. So let's say that the Fromm injury, which thankfully for Georgia fans is being reported as being not significant and not the kind of thing that's going to take him off the football field, but if it was, at that point in time, you get really concerned about all of a sudden now you move Fields up as a starter, he's probably going to be fine. But what you move into the number two position is something that you just don't know a whole lot about. And that is not a great position to be in when it comes to trying to win an SEC championship, trying to, you know, compete for the college football playoff. You know, you have to have a dependable backup because at a certain point in time, a lot of football teams end up having to lean on one at least for a little bit, and Georgia does not want to be taken out of contention because of moving every quarterback up a spot because of an injury, and all of a sudden it doesn't have the backup quarterback that it needs. So Jeff really sets the stage for Austin Peay, a game that many of you who are season ticket holders may be thinking about not going to, and I understand why you might not. Georgia, to the extent there is a point spread in that game, it's probably like a 50-point favor or something like that. It would seem, based on just the sort of, normal drama of wins and losses and final score margin, it would seem the game against the Governors, there's not a whole lot to be provided there. There's not a whole lot of really interesting, context and storyline to come out of that game. But Jeff sets up a scenario where it's actually pretty interesting. How big of a lead can Georgia build quickly? How much of Justin Fields can we see? And can we see enough of Justin Fields early enough in the game that Georgia can then start turning its attention to what the third string option might be in getting somebody like that seasoned playing time, getting somebody like that ready to maybe contribute in a role that hopefully Georgia doesn't have to use a quarterback in. Hopefully Georgia doesn't have to think about a number three quarterback in a real situation here in 2018. But one of the reasons why Kirby Smart has talked a lot about quarterback depth is because of the fact that that Kirby Smart sort of sees all scenarios, including the potentially negative scenario of more than one QB injury, which at that point in time would put a spotlight on a player that Georgia fans haven't had reason to think about. Stetson Bennett made the choice that was right for him. He chose to move on and transfer. I think a lot of us would have maybe done the same thing in the same situation, but Bennett's transfer is sort of highlighted by what goes on with Jake Fromm. Even if it's not serious, I think it leaves a lot of Georgia fans wondering, yeah, but what if it was? There's plenty more Dog Nation Daily coming up right after this.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
And, of course, we are following that Jake Fromm story all day long here today. Make sure you stay with DogNation.com. Any new news that happens to come out, I don't know that there will be, but any new news that happens to come out, Dog Nation is going to be all over that. For now, though, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, let's get ready to transition to our SEC Through. I will remind you that SEC Country Live is back again today, 3 p.m. Eastern time, and better than ever. We did miss yesterday for the 4th of July holiday, but we'll finish off the week strong here today, and then all throughout the rest of the summer and blazing a brand new trail into the 2018 season. We have got big things planned and in store for SEC Country Live, which I'm really, really excited about. Speaking of stories from around the SEC, some of these we've already talked about on SEC Country Live. Some of them, I guess, we'll talk about in the days ahead. Let me start with this, and I think this is relevant for Georgia, given the fact that, Georgia maybe at some point in time could be in the same conversation. Tim Brando, who is, you may remember, as a longtime voice around the SEC, he did the halftime show on CBS for a long time on those 3:30 games, had a radio show that was sort of nationally syndicated for a while that was heavily focused on college football. I think of Brando as being kind of one of the old guard voices around the league, and I guess I don't think of him as being that much of a hot take artist, to be completely honest, although maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't really think of him as making the most provocative statements around the league. But he goes on the Feinbaum show last week, or maybe it's early this week, it's within the last few days, and says something pretty interesting about Alabama here. Let me show you, I think we have on the screen, if you're watching. If not, I'll read this to you. So on the Feinbaum show, Tim Brando says, "There's absolutely no way in hell Alabama doesn't get in the playoff." He means just sort of all the time. "And don't tell me they're not privileged." And privileged, I think, is a very interesting word here. Brando says, "They'll shame Georgia's schedule, but not Alabama's. It's sickening and pathetic, but nobody wants to take on Nick Saban." So how about that? In sort of a side-by-side comparison, Tim Brando sort of, in a way, sticks up for Georgia. Georgia's gotten some criticism for its 2018 schedule. There is no high-profile non-conference game. Notre Dame is not coming back to Athens again until 2019. And he says, Georgia gets, he uses the word shamed for its schedule, but Alabama doesn't get shamed for its schedule, and that he essentially says that Alabama gets sort of an unfair benefit of the doubt, sort of punched its ticket right into the college football playoff. I don't think that that Tim Brando is 100% right on all of this, but I don't think he's 100% wrong either. I mean, it was an eye-opening experience for me last year when Alabama was given access into the college football playoff as a non-SEC champion, putting not just two SEC teams in the college football playoff, but three teams from the Deep South into the college football playoff. I thought that was a step that the college football selection committee would not do. They did that for Alabama last year. It goes on to be a national championship. So to a certain extent, the committee would appear to be validated by that. It's important to remember here in the Nick Saban era, that's twice that Alabama's been granted access into the college football national championship story. Back in 2011, it would have been the BCS. Here in 2017, it was the playoff committee, despite winning the SEC. That is a sort of a level of good fortune that most programs can't get. Now, I guess a defender of the committee might say, well, the alternative in 2017 was Ohio State, who had also been given some, what some people would describe as free passes in the playoffs over the course of the last couple of years. And in 2016, it did not work out well for the Buckeyes. They got clobbered by Clemson. So setting up a rematch with Clemson in 2017 didn't maybe make a whole lot of sense, given the fact we had just seen that a year ago. But I don't think that Tim Brando is 100% wrong when he uses privilege for Alabama. They are an established brand, and established brands just have a level of cachet other programs don't have. It's also worth pointing out that Georgia is looking to establish that, and if there's a debate about Georgia in 2018, how much good favor do the Dogs build up for themselves in 2017? I guess that remains to be seen. Speaking of Alabama, a recruiting story to get to here, Alabama does get a commitment from four-star defensive lineman Byron Young. Young was a name we mentioned recently on Dog Nation Daily as one of those defensive linemen that Georgia might turn to after losing out on, you know, I don't even know if you could say they lost out on Jason Jones, but there have been some high-profile misses for Georgia among defensive linemen. Byron Young was one of those guys that has, you know, shown up as a recruiting target for UGA. He chooses Alabama here. I still think it's fair to point out that Georgia needs success with its defensive line recruiting, but it's also likely that Georgia will get that. I think that Trayvon Walker is still probably heavily a Georgia lean. I think Georgia looks really good right now with, you know, some of those 2020 prospects. And over the course of the next two cycles, I think Georgia's going to be just fine there. But this is one of those positions that when it comes to recruiting, Georgia fans are paying close attention to, probably with good reason. Two other quick stories to get to here. Jacob Copeland is now officially at Florida. 24/7 Sports had some reporting on this earlier in the week. Copeland was one of those sort of remaining holdouts there, kind of like we've seen at Georgia over the last couple years where, you know, most of the incoming freshmen show up in early June. You got one or two stragglers, and on message boards, that becomes a big topic of conversation. Well, Copeland was that version for Florida, and this is probably a big deal for the Gators because he's probably going to play here. The one position group that may be a real strength for Florida on offense may be wide receivers. You may say that about the defensive line for the Gators, but on offense, the one group they may be able to lean on here, and maybe the only group on the offense they can lean on, is that wide receiver core to go along with the transfer Van Jefferson from Ole Miss, Tyree Cleveland, who's a pretty good player. I think there's a chance that Copeland plays here, so getting him on campus and all the Florida signees now accounted for, that's probably a pretty good, pretty big piece of news for Florida fans and something that Gators fans would probably consider as good news. And then finally here, ESPN, we talked about this earlier in the week, did its most exciting player for each of its preseason top 25 teams. We talked about DeAndre Swift and his role in that regard for Georgia. The name that comes up from Auburn, though, who is also in the preseason top 25, is the wide receiver Devin Barrett. Now, I think this is an interesting case for Auburn. Barrett recruited as a running back, but when you had the Hastings injury and the other injury, Eli Stove's injury, both those guys dealt with injuries during the spring practice. They moved Barrett from running back over to wide receiver, which gives you an idea that, you know, Malzahn's got some talent he can play with there. But I think it also speaks to what Auburn really needs here this season. Jarrett Stidham, if he's going to step up and be not just one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC, but one of the top quarterbacks in the country, I think Auburn needs more from its wide receiving core. And I think that Devin Barrett's one of those guys that may try to give that to the Tigers. I guess that'll be a storyline worth watching here in the fall as the Dogs and Auburn get ready to do battle with each other in November. And for now, we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, you know, every day at this time we do our Dog Day Q&A, and I kind of wanted to piggyback off of what we were just talking about there when it comes to the most exciting player for Georgia, ESPN talking about the most exciting players for all of its preseason top 25. You know, to sort of take our mind off, you know, whatever may have happened with the Jake Fromm injury here for a moment, let's turn our attention to something a lot happier and a lot more fun to talk about. Who do you think is the most exciting player for Georgia this season? Swift, as I said, got the nod from ESPN, but he was certainly not the only candidate you could have picked there. I think Justin Fields, in that brief window of time that he may be playing, has a chance to really amp up the excitement level for UGA. I think Mecole Hardman, every time he takes a kick, you know, he's not going to be doing that fair catch deal inside the 25 very much. He's going to be looking to to get involved with some big runs here. I think that's a name that could also come up in a discussion like this. Or maybe there are others here as well. Terry Godwin, maybe someone along those lines. Who do you think the most exciting player for George will be here in 2018? We'll make that the subject of our Dog Day Q&A here today on Dog Nation Daily. So while we're getting those comments coming in, Michael Collum mentioning the nature of the defensive line recruiting after Byron Young chooses Alabama. And, you know, I can only lean on what Jeff has said about this. I can only lean on the fact that he has, you know, spoken over and over again about the fact that he doesn't think that Georgia has much to be concerned about right now. So if that's what Jeff believes, and that's what I'm going to continue to go with. As far as exciting players goes, over here on YouTube, Kirby Smart's daddy says, I think Walter Grant will be exciting. He will have a lot of Leonard Floyd-type sacks. He says the Zaxby sack cam is going to be heavily used this year. I think that Walter Grant's a pretty interesting name on that. When we think of exciting players, typically we think of elusive, you know, shifty guys with the ball in their hand. But Grant, a very different version of excitement, and the fact that I think he's going to be in the backfield a lot. And, you know, the comparison that was made there by the commenter is probably a pretty accurate one, that he does have that really long body, and I think he's going to use that to his advantage. We saw that some in brief windows during the 2017 season. And I think he may be one of those guys that gets a chance to just get after the quarterback a bit more and, you know, be a havoc play type guy. And there are a lot of those stats blogs that talk about the nature of havoc plays in college football, you know, tackles for loss and sacks and deflected passes. And, you know, Walter Grant may be one of those guys that does a lot of that for Georgia this season. I think he could be a real big fan favorite. DeMayer on Facebook says, hey, there are too many to name in terms of the most exciting player for Georgia. And that's obviously a pretty good place to be. You love the idea of having too many good and exciting players to name as candidates and something like that. That's kind of a nice thought to think about. Brian Kephart over on YouTube mentions Zamir White. He says Zeus is going to be a highly exciting player to watch. He's coming. Yeah, I think that a lot of Georgia fans are aware of that in a way that the national media hasn't quite caught on to yet, that Zamir White is going to be probably healthy and probably contributing to a lot of Georgia's exciting plays here this season. All right, as we get ready to wrap up here today, let me remind you that I mentioned Florida a moment ago. We love to do our Gator Hater Countdown here on Dog Nation Daily. And 114 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. We think they get another win over those lousy, stinking Gators. It's our Gator Hater Countdown. We do that every single day here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And we're certainly glad to have you here with us to do that. We are back on sort of a normal schedule here for the rest of the week. So tomorrow is Friday, but we will be here live on video stream at 10 a.m. Radio show normal time, podcast normal time. Back on a normal time here today for SEC Country Live as well at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So there is a lot to talk about. I think one of the things that we'll probably do here over the next couple days is kind of get more into what I think is the deeper story behind this Lincoln Riley comment about Georgia and its defense. I think there's still more to be sort of uncovered there, and of course plenty more on Fromm when it becomes available. We'll see you tomorrow.